This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's August 30th. Holy cow, it's almost September. Episode 735, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday!
Lord, I love to hear that bad at 5 o'clock whistle moan. As the moon comes up and the sun goes down, put the beat in my truck, I'm heading to town.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. We out here in my little town of Waddell, Arizona, I am swimming when I go outside to go feed the horses because we got not one, not two, but potentially almost 4 inches of rain.
What?
In Waddell.
Like out of the sky?
About an hour, Glenn.
Like out of the sky?
It came out of the sky.
Really?
It's the time of year where we get the monsoon. So when it rains here in Arizona, it pretty much rains once for the entire year. And it rains all at the same time. And it dumped on us. Like, I mean, Phoenix got 2 inches, but people with their little rain gauges out here in Waddell have noticed 4 inches of rain. And it came within about an hour. So needless to say, everything on my property is flooded. Perfect time to try to get ready for a horse trial when you can't even ride in your arena. and the other problem is the bugs right now. And so this morning I walk into my office and I sit down, and for some reason I'm taken back to my high school days when I actually used to like camping. And I'm sitting in my office. I'm like, why am I thinking of camping? Oh, maybe it's because all the freaking crickets that have made their way into my office. It is like the ding out of doors in here. I don't know how they got in, but they've been chirping all morning long, and it's driving me crazy.
And there's always
crazy.
You can
I don't
find
want them in my house.
You can find if you have more than one cricket in the house, you can look around and you can find all but one. There's always one that you can never find. He like hides somewhere that's mysterious, or he's invisible. I'm not sure which. And he will be the one that will be the noisiest and will go all night long.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I've decided to start apparently a cricket breeding program where one sits on one side of the room and chirps to the potential mate that is located on the other side of the room. And when I go to try to find the one, he's already moved because he's circumnavigating the room to get back to his potential mate. So I can't find one of them, Glenn. At least you can find all but one. It's really annoying. And that also leads me to what? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the mosquitoes thing. We here. I'll tell you what. We are in the height of mosquito season right now. It is just, you walk outside. The other day, two days ago, I walked outside and Jennifer was out there, and I literally walked to my pony and back to Jennifer, and she said, "You're covered in mosquitoes." And I looked down, and my shirt had like 10 mosquitoes on it. It was, they're just everywhere.
Yes, I was going to say that leads me to the mosquito issue that happens when it rains. Oh my gosh, my poor horses. So when you were covered in mosquitoes just by walking outside, does that mean that your poor horses are covered in mosquitoes?
Yeah, and you know, Jennifer's horse Beaker doesn't do so well with them. He always, every morning, he's covered in these bumps. My pony doesn't, I don't know if my pony is not tasty or, you know, his blood is not good, but they don't seem to bother my pony. But boy, Jennifer's horse, her quarter horse, is covered in bumps every morning.
Now, think about that, Glenn. If you're a mosquito and you're flying by and you see big, fat, beefy, healthy Beaker, and then you fly past PT Scooter, who is the approximate width of two sheets of paper, which one do you think the mosquito is going to go, ooh, tasty?
true.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask. We should ask this on Facebook, because poor Joey, the horse we have, the chestnut thoroughbred, is covered in welts every morning. And then Jet, who's the bay, who is stoic to anything in the world, doesn't even care about whip or spurs. Like, he does not get bitten at all. And I'm wondering if it's a color thing. Do certain horses get affected by mosquitoes more than others? Because Beaker's a chestnut too. So let's post this on Facebook. You know, basically what color gets abused the most? Because my chestnut horse gets bothered, and my dark bay horse, Edward, is covered and is so sensitive to him too. And then the Duke, the buckskin, he doesn't get bothered. The paint horse doesn't get bothered. The bay horse doesn't get bothered. But the chestnut and the dark bay are swarmed. Huh.
Interesting.
Is that weird?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
I wonder.
You know, what's weird is thinking about you guys out there in the dry, arid desert with mosquitoes.
August sucks. I'm seriously moving away next August. This is like my fifth August here, and I hate it. It's awful. It rains, and you get mosquitoes, and it's floods. It's just awful.
Well, if that's what you're trying to get away from, I don't recommend coming to visit us in Florida. That's probably not a good idea, as we've had about 100 inches of rain in the last month. So.
Well, there's a reason why nobody's supposed to live here. The good Lord tells us do not live in Arizona many, many ways. And this is just another one of the ways he says don't live in this godforsaken state, because you will either get burned up by the sun, you will overheat, you will have mosquito swarms, rattlesnakes, scorpions. It doesn't matter where you are. We are telling you to get out. Get out. And I can't live.
That darn husband of yours. Well, Jennifer has a remedy. She makes a tea out of catnip. You know, this catnip, the cat's catnip stuff. She just buys catnip at the store and actually brews it into a tea, and you spray it on the horses, and it really works for mosquitoes. Not too much for flies or anything else, but it really works to keep the mosquitoes away. The problem is you've got to put it on multiple times a day. It doesn't last very long, but it does work.
How do you... Because I spend $22 a bottle or whatever for mosquito halt, because that stuff works. But also, when you spray it on yourself, it smells like you're spraying cancer. I mean, it is some stinky stuff. And it's awful. But it really, really works on the mosquitoes. I've never heard of anybody brewing catnip tea. You're going to have to post that recipe online, Jennifer.
And unlike most of my home remedies, this actually does have scientific basis. They did a study in 2001 at the University of Iowa, I want to say, and they did find that the essential oils in catnip really do repel mosquitoes more effectively than DEET. So there you go.
Well, there you go.
I'll post the recipe up on the Facebook page.
All right.
Yeah, do that, please, because I don't even know where one would find catnip. So, I can't wait to find out.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, this weekend's Woodward Stakes provides this morning's racing history lesson, and murder is next on the menu as Lisa Wysocki stops by with a preview of her latest literary blockbuster, where the Hit'em crew achieves even greater celebrity status. And Really Bad Ads sends us all into the weekend chortling with delight. And happy Toasted Marshmallow Day, everybody. Celebrate responsibly.
It's s'mores time. All right, it's time for Daily Winnies. My Daily Winnie goes out to a listener of ours by the name of Anita Carey, who says, I already have my ticket for the Road to the Horse next March. I'm going all by my lonesome, but I feel like I'll have friends there since I just heard you guys will have a booth there. That is right. We announced it on Wednesday. We have a media partnership with Road to the Horse over the next year, and we will have a booth at the Road to the Horse in the stadium there at the Kentucky Horse Park at the Alltech Arena, and we will also be broadcasting some shows from there. So we're looking forward to that. And Anita, we're looking forward to seeing you and saying hi. We're looking forward to seeing all our visitors. I was thinking, Jamie, if we get enough visitors that are coming to Road of the Horse, we'll have to have a meetup. We'll have to do a meetup somewhere in Lexington and all get together. So I think that would be a lot of fun.
I'm in.
So so far we found one. We found one.
Now,
yeah.
Glenn, don't you tell me that I can't go because I have a baby. Don't do it to me.
Well, by then you should be able to leave the baby home with Chad and say, here you go. Take care of the little critter.
Bye-bye.
I'm out of here.
See ya.
Here you go. Yours.
Oh, do you smell that? It smells like love. Love is in the air, Glenn. Love is in the air for two people that are officially engaged now. And a big congratulations goes out to one Buck Davidson and his longtime girlfriend, now fiance, Andrea Leatherman, who were engaged earlier this week. They are celebrating their engagement by Buck getting on a plane to England almost immediately after the proposal. Andrea is still in the United States, and at some point they will meet back up and someday get married. A wedding date has not been set, but again, he has officially proposed to his girlfriend of 4 years. Congratulations, Buck and Andrea. How's that?
How old is Buck, anyway?
Let's see. He's got to be older than me. So, I'm going to Google that now.
I was thinking mid-30s. Yeah. Because I'll tell you why I ask. Because while you're looking that up, is because Buck's the kind of guy that you've known forever, and you just never thought about him getting married to anyone. You know, he's just always been single, and that's the way it is. But look at this. Big news. I noticed it made the headlines at Eventing Nation yesterday.
Yes, I'm sure it did. Let's see. I'm trying to find his birthday. My God, the guy's won every award there is to win.
He's not on
No
Wikipedia for Buck?
You can Wikipedia him. I'm on his website, Buck Davidson Eventing. And it, believe it or not, it does not say how old he is. What year he was born? Give me a bio, something. Let's see. Okay. Buck Davidson is on Wikipedia. He was not born in 49. That would be his father.
Yeah.
Let's see. 76. So, yes, he is older than me. So, he was born in 1976. That would make him 36 years old.
And I think his fiance works or has worked in the past for the U.S. Equestrian Federation, if I remember correctly.
I know she's a rider.
Yeah, she's a rider, but I also think she worked for the UACF because I think I met her at some point along the way here. But, well, good. Congratulations to both of them. That's terrific. Well, one thing before we go on with the show today, I've been enjoying telling you about all these cool races that are coming up in the race world and doing a little history on them, and I've been learning a lot. Well, I'm going to do that here in just a minute or two on the Woodward Stakes, which is tomorrow, and I did a little research on the Woodward Stakes, so I want to tell you about that. It's a fun race that is happening and will be televised on NBC tomorrow from 4 to 6 Eastern Time. But I wanted to say Monday we are off. It's a holiday here in the United States, so we will not have a show of any kind on Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday with Tack Talk. That must be Jennifer. She's ready for a break.
Is that cheering for the day off or for Tack Talk?
I think that was for the day off. Tuesday will be Tack Talk with Equus Now. Rose will be back for our once-a-month look at tack and equipment and supplies. We had a lot of fun with her last month, and she'll be back here on Tuesday. And then Jamie and the rest of us will be back on Wednesday with our normal show for the Wheel of Trivia. So all of that is what's going on next week. Now let's talk about the Woodward Stakes. The Woodward Stakes is an American Grade One stakes race and is one of the premier races for older thoroughbreds in the United States. It was named for a prominent racehorse owner, William Woodward, and is run at a mile and an eighth on dirt for a purse of $750,000. It was started, Jamie, in 1954 and was originally held at Aqueduct Racetrack, and then it was moved to Belmont Park for a lot of years. But in 2006, it was moved again to the Saratoga Racecourse, where it's held today. Now, William Woodward is who the race is named after, and he was an American banker and a major owner and breeder in the thoroughbred horse racing industry, and anybody that lives in Maryland will know that. He came from a prominent family and a wealthy Maryland family that dates back to colonial times. Interestingly, his family made their fortune selling textiles to the Confederate government. And his father was the founder of the New York Cotton Exchange. So they were really into clothing and cotton. William Woodward built the Bel Air Stud, which is a beautiful farm in Maryland, and a dominant breeding and thoroughbred horse racing operation in the United States during the 30s, 40s, and 50s. The Blair Stud won every major stakes race in the United States during those years, including two Triple Crowns, the Epsom Oaks, the St. Ledger Stakes, the Thousand Guineas, and other important races also over in Britain. He raced a lot in Britain. Actually, William spent a lot of time in Britain. His major accomplishments in horse racing led him to making the August 7th, 1939 cover of Time magazine, when it was a big deal to make Time magazine, and now nobody even looks at it. But he was elected to the United States Jockey Club in 1917, and he served as its chairman from 1930 till 1950. So he was 20 years as chairman of the United States Jockey Club. So he's a pretty important figure in the world of horse racing. And back in the day, if you think about racing back in the day from when he was really involved in it from 1917 to 1950, racing was really in its heydays. You saw the videos of the old Man of War times and things like that, where the racetracks are just absolutely packed. It was the entertainment and it was the thing back in the time of the match races and all of that. But some facts about the Woodward. As far as the females are concerned, in 2009, Rachel Alexander became the first female to win the Woodward, facing older males for the first time. Only one other three-year-old filly had ever run in the Woodward, and that mare was by the name of Summer Guest in 1972. She finished second. And apparently something happened and ended up placing third. They bumped her down. But in 2011, Havoc de Grace, who was four at the time, became the second filly to win the Woodward. But unlike Rachel Alexandra, this was her first time that Havoc de Grace ever faced males at all. It was the first time that she had ever faced males, period. So there's a little bit about the history of the Woodward.
Now, Glenn, the Woodward to me is one of, it's kind of like the Travers to me, where it's such a storied race and historical race for the Breeders' Cup, for the horses that are going to run in the Breeders' Cup. And so many phenomenal horses have won the Woodward Stakes. So I came up with a list of just the ones that you guys might have heard of, just a who's who of who wins the Woodward. And then we'll go through the horses that are running in it tomorrow. But horses with the name like Curlin, Skipaway, Cigar, who won it twice in a row, Holy Bull, Easy Goer, Ali Sheba, Slew of Gold, who won it twice in a row, a little horse named Affirmed, Triple Crown winner, also won Seattle Slew, Triple Crown winner, also won the Woodward, Forgo won the dang race 4 years in a row.
Whoa.
4 years in a row. I mean, he's amazing. Buff Passer, Kelso won it three times in a row. We're back in the 60s. Now the jockeys, Angel Cordero Jr., Angel Cordero Jr. won it five times. Jerry Bailey has won it three times. Bill Shoemaker, Eddie R. Carroll, Bill Hartek, all of those guys won it multiple times. So the Woodward is a who's who of horse racing in the breeding shed and also in the who the jockeys are that won. And I was looking and I thought, well, who right now that's been run, a jockey recently hasn't won it or hasn't won it in a long time? And I realized that Mike Smith has not won it since, like, oh my gosh, like 20 years ago. Huh. And then it also made me realize how old Mike Smith is. So I thought, well, he's got to be due. Hey, he doesn't have a horse in the race. He's not riding. But this is one of the biggest races of the year, and Mike Smith, one of the biggest jockeys, does not have a horse in it. Huh. Is that surprising?
Yeah, that is kind of surprising. Hey, I got to ask you, though. I bet you the listeners don't know who the most famous horse ever to lose the Woodward was. And I'm not
Hold on.
We're not going to tell. I'll give you a hint. It was in 1973, and I have the race call for you. Take a listen. Start up here.
And we're off. That's Ahmed on the inside with Proveout ranging up alongside the challenge for the early lead. Summer Guest is now third, and on the outside, that's Secretariat fourth. A gap of a length and three quarters, and Cougar is fifth as they head to the clubhouse turn. Proveout in front by three parts of a length. That's Secretariat on the outside taking over second position. Ahmed is now third, skimming the rail by three parts of a length. Summer Guest fourth on the outside, and Cougar is fifth as they round the clubhouse turn and move to the backstretch. Proveout in front by one length now. Secretariat on the outside is second by 2.5 lengths. Ahmed races third ahead. Summer Guest inching up on the outside now fourth. And a length and a half farther back, Cougar is fifth. They move on to the backstretch with Proveout maintaining the lead now by half length. So on the outside, that's Secretariat. Now up to challenge. There goes Secretariat on the outside getting the lead. Secretariat in front now by a length and a half. Proveout drops back second, a gap of four lengths. Cougar now takes over third position toward the inside. Ahmed is fourth between horses, and on the outside, Summer Guest fifth. Down the backstretch, Secretariat holding on to the lead now by a length and three quarters. Proveout is second as Cougar moves up on the outside, now a closer third. Ahmed is fourth and Summer Guest, the five really tightly bunched as they move around the far turn. Secretariat in front by a length and three quarters. And Proveout on the inside is now second by three parts of a length. Cougar on the outside third, followed by Ahmed. Summer Guest dropping back fifth. As they move to the 3/8 pole, and Secretariat in front, holding on to the lead by two lengths. On the inside, Proveout second ahead. Ahmed moves up, now taking over the third spot. Cougar along the rail is fourth by five, and Summer Guest now there's a quarter of a mile to the finish. And on the outside, it's Secretariat in front by ahead. Here comes Proveout. Back into contention on the rail. Now those two are heads apart. Secretariat on the outside. Proveout gets the lead. Proveout in front by one length. Jorge Velasquez taking the lead with Proveout. Secretariat drops back. It's Proveout in front, a 16th of a mile. Proveout in front. Secretariat second.
So there you go. There was Secretariat actually losing the Woodward back in 1973. So that was quite a race, and Secretariat, I don't think, ever won that race. Was shut out of that particular one. They said one of the interesting things about Secretariat is that that horse just never got up for the smaller races. This was considered a smaller race because it won everything else. So it just never got up for the smaller races and never got real excited about them. It, you know, just really fed off the energy at the larger races. So that was interesting. But we have a friend. We have somebody we follow all the time that's going to be racing tomorrow, right? Mucho Macho Man.
Yay! Yes, Mucho Macho Man is actually in the, he's in the sixth post, and he is heading out. You realize that they say six of the seven horses in the, or actually there's only six of the six horses now. Five of the six horses that are running in the Woodward Stakes tomorrow are millionaires. And the only one who's not has won over $1 million was a horse named Successful Dan, and he's only won over $900,000. So only $900,000. So the field tomorrow has won over $13 million. Now, it was almost 15, but a horse named Fort Larned, who was slated to be in the three spot, is actually not going to run because I guess he came up a little bit off in his works this past week. So Fort Larned is not going to run, but we've got Ron the Greek, Successful Dan, Flat Out, Painter, of course, we all know, Mucho Macho Man, and Alpha. Now, aside from Mucho Macho Man winning, because we love him and his entire connections, Painter is the one who I think everybody's going to be pulling for, because he did have such a hard year and last year, and then going and making this kind of his comeback. So his last race that he came back in was an allowance race, but he was pretty successful and he won it. So they're really up in the game here, throwing Painter in this race, and I think he's going to be the emotional favorite.
Well, let's. There is a caller that has called in, Jamie, that would like to give her opinion on who's going to win this race. So let's say hi to Patty.
Good morning.
Do you have an opinion on who's going to win this race?
Well, of course, I'm a little biased, but we're looking for a big race tomorrow, and we got our dances ready.
It's Patty! Hi!
Hi!
Oh, my God, I was just saying we're totally pulling for Mucho Macho Man, of course, because we love you guys. I said, but Painter may be the emotional connection for most people, but we're pulling for Mucho.
Well, thanks. He's... you know, Painter, what a story, and what a tough horse he is to come through all of that. So I can understand why he would be a favorite in anybody's eyes.
Well, we better say who we're talking to here real quick is we are talking to Patty and Dean Reeves, who are the owners of Mucho Macho Man. For new listeners, I just thought I'd throw that in. Go ahead, Jamie.
Well, how are you guys feeling about the race tomorrow? We were just going over the history of the Woodward, and it's such a storied race with horses like Cigar, Holy Bull, Easy Goer, Curlin. These are all the horses that have won the Woodward in the past. And to have your horse's name kind of in that list of potentials has got to be pretty awesome.
It is. You know, his grandfather, Holy Bull, was a winner in this race. So,
yes.
Macho also won the Suburban, which his grandfather won. So maybe we can notch the Woodward, and we'll sure be pulling for him. And he's training well, and we're really looking forward to the race tomorrow.
Now let's talk about, yes, it would be great to have him win the race, being that his grandfather won it. Blah blah blah. Let's talk about the purse. Tell everybody what the prize money is for tomorrow's race.
Well, the total purse is $750,000, so of course, purse place is $450,000, and you know, so that'd be a nice piece of change for anybody to help defray the expenses in this horse business. But it's a great race, a lot of quality horses in there, grade one winners and so forth, and as you said earlier, several millionaires in the group. And to do that, you got to be pretty special. So, we just hope we come out on top.
Are you guys up there? Are you at Saratoga?
Oh, yeah, we're at Saratoga. We rented a place up here. This is a funny story. We rent a place every year for the whole six-week meet in Saratoga. We just love it up here, and the weather's just been beautiful. But this year, the place that we rented is actually a condominium that is in a church. It's an old church that was renovated and made into six or seven different condos. So we're praying every day.
I was going to say, let me encourage you to hit the altar on the way out tomorrow morning when you're leaving.
Oh, yeah.
Leave a little donation and get down on the knees.
Light a candle.
That's going to be a great day. Yeah, exactly. Light a candle.
Well,
that'd
now,
great.
I have a question here real quick, and I wanted to ask, because I've been meaning to get you guys on anyway. Dean, I know that you've been instrumental in trying to get racing into Jamie's old home state of Georgia, and because it's one of the very few states that actually doesn't have live racing. Have you had any luck? Have you gotten anywhere?
Yeah, we've made a lot of progress. We've had some very good meetings with the... I'll say the powers that be at the Capitol. We've had meetings with the Speaker of the House and the Lieutenant Governor. We're getting some positive feedback from them. We've created the Georgia Horse Racing Coalition. We have a lot of members, volunteers, that are helping us with our cause to bring world-class racing to Georgia. And we've had some really good you know, fundraisers. We've had great meetings. We're really getting a real build-up for that in Georgia, and we're very confident that we can bring horse racing to Georgia.
Well, there's two things.
We have a Facebook page. We are on Twitter. We have a website. So, I mean, it's moving along really well, and I've got a lot of horsemen and good business people around the state that are helping us. So we've been very excited about our opportunity.
Yeah, I think you can do it. And unfortunately, Georgia is, they consider the Bible Belt. And so, oh gosh, we don't want to do anything that would offend anybody. Well, let me tell you, if you get horse racing passed in Georgia, Glenn, what they also need in Georgia is liquor sales on Sunday. So if we can do those two things, because that was the most irritating thing about living in Georgia, was you couldn't buy beer on Sunday. And of course, you know, you'd go to stock your football games and your parties and all that. And then you're like, oh, crud, it's Sunday, so you can't buy it. And to me, those two things have always kind of gone hand in hand with the fact that you can't buy beer on Sunday and you can't watch a horse race. And I think it's awful, and it shows how far back the South is, and they need to step up into
But this is the same. This is the same state, and I've said it before. Talk about hypocrites. This is the same state where, as you're driving along the major highways, you will see billboards everywhere for massage parlors and adult bookstores.
Well,
everywhere, hundreds of them.
And places you can go and order a sandwich, and some naked girl will bring it to you. So, it's totally backwards.
Well, so you'll know, they did approve Sunday sales of alcohol, so that...
Oh, well, there you go, half there.
And, yep, they approved that. We also have the lottery. So
That's true. The
big difference that I see is that we're bringing an industry to the state of Georgia. We're creating jobs. We're creating revenue for the state. We project it'll be $50+ million in revenue for the state of Georgia. And one of the best things the state of Georgia has is the Hope Scholarship. And it needs the money, because we're sending a lot of our kids to college that wouldn't otherwise be able to go. And that makes for a better state. And so we're going to be able to supplement that, get more kids to college, create jobs all through the entire state, and it's just full of positives everywhere you look. And there are already 330,000 individuals in Georgia that have horse racing accounts that they are betting on. So, I mean, we got to get out of the closet. I mean, horse racing is in Georgia. We're just missing out on the revenue.
Oh, I have a request. I have a special request for Jamie and I and Jennifer. Is when you have your first race, when it's finally approved, and I assume you guys are going to build and own the track. So after that, when you have your first race, you have to invite your favorite radio talk show hosts for the first race, right? You're going to do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
And,
good.
You know, all those Southern ladies, I mean, they got the Southern Belles, they got their hats ready to go and their outfits. And, you know, can't you just picture having the Peach Derby?
Oh, my gosh. I love the name. And Glenn, let me tell you that their favorite radio hosts are probably somewhere along the lines of TVG and HRTV.
Yeah,
actual
it's
horse
us.
Racing.
It's us.
You guys are right on the front lines with us. You've been there from the start.
We have, actually.
Dina, I'm telling you, we have. You got me sold on it, Dina. I'm gonna get everybody to vote. Is it going to come to a vote anytime soon?
We hope so. In order to get it on the ballot, we have to pass a constitutional amendment first that would allow it to go out to the voters. We've done some studies, and we found that 72% of the voters in the state of Georgia would approve it if it got to the ballot. So all we're asking is to allow the voters to decide to get it on the ballot. And to do that, it's just going to take a grassroots effort. So if you don't mind, I'd like to just plug our website. It's
please do.
It's Georgia Horse Racing, GAHorseRacing.org. It's a nonprofit organization. We have a Facebook page, Georgia Horse Racing. We're on Twitter at GA Horse Racing, and we're taking donations. We're looking for volunteers to help. We're setting up fundraisers around the states. We've got a traveling road show. We had some of our volunteers come up here to Saratoga. We had Georgia Day at Saratoga Racetrack when we ran the Whitney. We've got the America's Best Racing RV Tour bus helping us out. They came to the Capitol and parked in front of the state Capitol and met with lawmakers to educate them about horse racing. So it's really an education process, and it's a long road, but we have some really hardworking volunteers out there. And between, you know, the social media and all that, and all the horse lovers, you know, we're going to get this thing done.
Well, I am super proud of you guys. It's been, you know, it's been in the talks. I remember we had a bumper sticker on our car when I was a kid, support Georgia horse racing. And people would always stop and ask me, where can you find Georgia horse racing? I'm like, you can't. That's why we're trying to support it. But you guys are actually...
You know, years ago, they had horse racing in Savannah in the 1800s. So really what we're doing is just bringing horse racing back to Georgia.
I love it, Dean. I love it. And you guys are doing Georgia some good by having Mucho Macho Man as such an ambassador, such a fantastic ambassador for Georgia horse racing, having him in just do so well and be so successful and so tough that he can keep going. And I'm so proud of the way that Kathy has been able to take care of him and nurse him along. And you guys have done the right thing as owners to, you know, keep this horse going along and keep him sound and keep him healthy and happy. That's why you're there at the Woodward, and that's why you're the voice of Georgia horse racing. And we wish you guys, oh my gosh, the best of luck.
Well, thanks so much. You know, y'all, I think back to it, I believe we talked with y'all when we were in Louisiana several years ago.
Yep,
so
that's right.
You've been with us all the way, and we really appreciate your support. And Kathy's done a great job with Mucho Macho Man and her staff and our racing manager, Finn Green. They've done a great job for all of our horses, and we're having a lot of fun, and that's what it's all about.
Yes. Now, who else can we look for coming up? Because I know you guys have some youngsters, and I think some are on the card tomorrow.
Well, actually, we have Silver Menace racing in Monmouth today, and I think he's got a nice chance to run well and win today. It'd be a good race at Monmouth. It's the third race. We have a two-year-old filly that we're really excited about named Alley Alley Income Free.
Yeah, so, I love that.
yeah, she's out of Unbridled Song or from Unbridled Song Shire. So we're really excited about her, but she probably won't run for another couple of months. But, you know, the stable's doing fine. Billboard Babe ran last about 2 weeks ago, and she won and broke her maiden at Charlestown. So so far so good.
You guys are a force to be reckoned with in horse racing now. So, you know, you got horses running all over the country. That's so fantastic.
Well, thanks. We appreciate your support.
Well, you guys, we wish you the best of luck. And tomorrow, obviously, Mucho Macho Man, let's see him cross the finish line ahead of the rest. We wish you guys the best, and we wish him the best. And please give him a carrot from us.
Oh, we will. We will. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Patty, what are you wearing? What are you wearing?
Oh, yeah,
hold on. We
gotta
get
ask that.
You know, that's so funny. I'm sitting here looking through my closet. I don't know because it's good. I have a couple of dresses, and it's just going to be whichever one hits me in the morning because it might be a little bit chilly, so you just never know. But, no hat, though, tomorrow. I don't have a hat. We're trying to get packed up. We drove up here. It's a 17-hour drive, and so there was a limit on how many suitcases I could take. So Dean has fixed the hats. So we're going to leave and drive back on Sunday, so we'll be taking 2 days to get back to Georgia. So we'll be listening.
All right. Well, can't wait to see it, and we'll be watching tomorrow. Good luck, you guys.
All right. Thanks again. Amen.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Well, it is GAHorseRacing.org is the website, GAHorseRacing.org. I thought you needed a little surprise here on a Friday before a holiday.
No, Glenn, don't lie. They were just listening and called in, weren't they?
Well, I think they do listen, but we did sort of arrange it this morning so that it would be timed just perfectly that we were just finishing up talking about the Woodward, and thank God you didn't say anything bad about Mucho Macho Man. Not that there's anything to say, but...
I mean, what if I was like, oh, man,
You had me a little bit nervous. I'm just going to be honest. You had me a little nervous. We need
to. Oh, my God. That's awful. Don't do that to me anymore. That's terrible. What if I'd have been like, oh, Mucho Benjamin sucks. What's he doing there? Oh, go paint there. You know, come on.
You wouldn't have done that, though.
No more.
I know you, so.
I hate surprises.
I know you hate surprises, which is why we like to do it to you so often. It's so much fun.
Not funny. Not funny.
Kentucky Performance Products is our sponsor for the day, and then we're going to be right back. Sorry, Lisa, we're coming to you a little late. We had a surprise caller. So Lisa Wysocki is going to be on because guess what? Not only are we famous in the racing world, we are now famous in the literary world, and we're going to find out why in just 1 minute.
Regular listeners to the show know that we love Kentucky Performance Products. And that's an easy thing to do because Kentucky Performance Products stand behind their products and they believe in them. Your complete satisfaction is guaranteed. If you are unsatisfied with any of their products, they will gladly refund your money. Does your horse or pony get fat on air alone? Is he living in a dry lot or turned out with a muzzle? Can't feed him more than a handful of grain and some hay? Then you need Microphase. Microphase is a great way to ensure your horse or pony gets all of the nutrients he needs to stay healthy without adding calories to his diet. Microphase contains the vitamins and trace minerals not found in grass or hay, and your horse will eat it right out of your hand. You can learn more about Microphase and all of the products from Kentucky Performance Products by visiting kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. Check out Microphase.
Don't forget to follow them also on Facebook, just to look for Kentucky Performance Products on Facebook. They put all kinds of good nutritional information over there, and we appreciate the support of Karen and the gang at Kentucky Performance Products. Well, you know, we've had racehorse owners on here, and, you know, talking about their famous racehorse, Mucho Macho Man. And now we're going to have one of our favorite authors on. Her name is Lisa Wysocki from down there in Tennessee, and she has a new book coming out. And there's something very, 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 very special about this book. Tell us what it is, Lisa.
Hey, the Horses in the Morning crew have starring roles in my new mystery book.
Woo-hoo! We're in the book.
Don't lie.
Jamie's the murderer at murderess, and I get murdered. Is that how it goes?
Well, if I said that, then I would give away the whole plot line, so we really can't say.
Okay, all right.
Glenn, that's another book that I'm writing.
Well, I didn't say no. But I didn't say.
We are so excited about this. We're in a book.
Well, you know, the book takes place at a horse show. It's an all-breed horse show, and so I had to invent this event. And one of the reasons I did that was my publisher said, you know, you've got to find a way to get breeds of all different kinds of horses together in one spot. And so I thought, well, an endurance ride or, you know, a lot of different things. And so I settled on this major all-breed horse show. And so what happens at these really big events is that media come. And so I thought, what a better thing than to have the Horses in the Morning crew there, right there at the show, interviewing all of the winners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did somebody pay our way, or did we have to pay our own way? I'm just wondering.
You know, I don't know. They didn't tell me.
Okay.
really don't know.
All right, good.
But I will say that Jen has a key role. She has a key thing that happens that drives the story forward.
Oh.
So it's very exciting.
What's Jennifer been up to that we don't know about?
Well, I will say this. She's been going to the horse spa and standing on those vibrating plates. Have you guys seen those?
No.
Yes.
I haven't. What are
they? Those are awesome.
You're in for a real treat. They have these plates. They're like, I don't know, 4 by 8 feet, and you lead your horse up onto them, and they vibrate. And it's like when the horse steps off, they're just nice and loose. And so Jen has decided that, obviously, with the stress of, you know, handling the Horses in the Morning crew, that she needs to chill out a little bit. So she's standing on one of these vibrating plates and, you know, meets my protagonist, Kat Enright, who's trying to track down a murder because horses are getting sick and people are dropping dead at this horse show. And so my protagonist, Kat Enright, bumps into Jen, and, well, you'll just have to read the book to figure out what happens.
Oh, jeez. I hope Jennifer doesn't get murdered. because that'd be bad. Just saying. I've been married 25 years. I'd hate to start over.
That would be a bad thing.
Well, tell us a little bit about what it's like to write a book and to get it published and to go through this whole thing, Lisa, because I know Glenn's excited that we're in it, but you must be excited. You have a book coming out.
Well, you know, this is actually my second mystery book. I write a lot of nonfiction, as you know, but this is my second mystery book. And good, bad, or ugly, my first book was just honored, and I was honored. It won 4 pretty major book awards, so I felt a lot of pressure to deliver a really exciting second book. And, of course, you can't have excitement without the horses in the morning crew. It just doesn't happen.
We love her.
Buttering us up for something. I don't know why.
Have you read the book yet? Maybe after we read the book. Maybe we should have read the book before we had her on. You know, that might have been an idea.
Well, you know, that's key. Now, it's called The Magnum Equation, and it is up on Kindle right now on Amazon's ebook website, but it's actually not going to be published until September 24th. Should be in stores and online everywhere, and other ebook formats should be available. So if you're a Nook person or somebody else, those formats should be up then too. But you know, to get back to Jamie's question, you know, fiction is so much fun because you can really make up whatever you want. So you know, I always tell people, you know, don't tick me off because I'm an author. And I can kill you.
I will have you killed.
Well, Lisa, I got to tell you that I actually, because you were kind enough to send us the book ahead of time, now, Glenn, I'm sure, obviously did not read it. However, you actually had sent us the book and sent us the pages that we were actually mentioned on. So, of course...
Right.
I had to go read the pages at least I was mentioned on, and I found myself, even though I would pick it up at page 126, I was reading pages, even though I hadn't read. It's really, really good, Lisa. It's really good, and it's such a page turner, and I really appreciate your writing style. It's descriptive, and it connects everybody, and I really, really enjoyed it, and I haven't finished it or read the whole entire thing, but I was a little bit pissed that Jennifer was mentioned more than me, I gotta tell you.
Well, you know, sometimes plot just kind of takes care of itself, and you were so busy just interviewing all these people, you really didn't have the opportunity to move around much like Jen did.
Wait a minute. Did she just say I had nothing to do?
That's pretty much what she said, I think.
No. You are busy rounding up guests. You are busy. You're busy. So, but you have to be roaming around the horse show. You know, you also bump into some of my other characters. Several of you do. Actually, Glenn does, too. And I've got...
Carrie Underwood was in the book, and I met her.
No, but you did meet a teenager with a trust fund.
Oh, that's
so,
good enough.
That'll work.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, and you guys also met Agnes, who is my possibly psychic horse's owner. And Agnes is 70 years old, and she just hasn't really figured out that she's no longer a cheerleader. So she actually does a cartwheel in the book, which is very exciting.
This is great. Now, it's coming out. You said you can pre-order it now, right?
You can pre-order it now, and the Kindle version is up. Everything else happens September 24th, and it was just so much fun to write, and, you know, I love my characters, and I hope everybody else does, too.
Well, we hope that everybody can buy this and read the next Cat and Write mystery. It's The Magnum Equation. It's by Lisa Wysocki, and that's Wysocky. And you can I have to go on and order mine now. Although I want a signed copy, so I'm going to order mine directly from you because I want it signed.
Aw, thanks. I also want to mention that my publisher did a special nice thing just for the Horses in the Morning listeners.
Oh.
If they want to read the first book, The Opium Equation, it's on sale now. The ebook version is on sale on Amazon right now for 99 cents.
Oh, wow.
But that only goes through Sunday.
Oh, wow. We'll put that on Facebook, Jennifer. Make sure you put that, find that and put it on Facebook so that everybody can find it. That's terrific. Yeah, that'd be great to read the first one and then this one. Well, we're very excited and we're very flattered, and we thank you so much, Lisa. You've been a good friend of the Horse Radio Network for many years.
Oh, well, thank you for being such a good sport about it.
And I wanted to mention, too, last time you were on was for Walking on Eggshells, and that book did pretty well. And that was, of course, the story of baby Lisa.
Yes, Lisa Chapman, daughter of Dog the Bounty Hunter, and that book is continuing to do very well, and Lisa is just so amazing. I just love her.
Well, we enjoyed having her on. That was a fun show when you brought her on with us, and we really enjoyed that. And we've really, really enjoyed having you as a friend and occasional co-host when Jamie's out. But Lisa, thank you so much, and good luck with the book.
You're welcome. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Bye, Lisa.
Bye, Lisa.
Woohoo! We're in a book. And I didn't get murdered.
Yeah.
So
I need a more prominent role in the next one, so I'm going to put in for that.
Okay. All right. You do that. All right. Let's take a break here. It is about that time of day for a song. I have a Florida girl, horse girl, by the name of Raquel Renner, who is singing Something Gets Broken. We're going to be back right after that with Really Bad Ads.
Friday night, Becky Sue was ready to party. She said, "Hey Joe, let's go out." He couldn't get his old mojo started. Couldn't get him up off the couch. Packed up her dog, her dishes, and her records, put some tire tracks in the yard. Death is hard in pieces now, he's hitting the liquor, getting rowdy every night at the start. I thought it had a party till something got broken. She took him up and shattered his world. Two people crying, the laughing and the joking. Getting out, forgetting now, he's missing that. Into that black leather skirt. Walked through the door with a mean looking fellow wearing tattoos and a muscle man shirt. Joe was shooting pool, had too much tequila, got mad enough to pick up a ball. Busted someone's nose and the chair started flying and it turned into a bar. Bathroom door, shattered glass where the whiskey's been soaking. Up the sawdust on the hardwood floor. The sheriff pulled up with his sirens wide open. Threw him in the camper, causing such a commotion. It ain't a party till something gets broken. He took him up and shattered his world. You keep on crying, you're laughing and a joking. Forgetting how he's missing that girl. Hanging out now, drinking and a smoking. Out on the dance floor, going through the motion. It ain't a party till something gets broken. Yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back. You are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. That was Something Gets Broken by Rachel Renner. Today's show is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. And Glenn, we're about to start really bad ads, but I did go horse shopping.
For yourself again?
No, this is not for me. Okay, it's kind of a whole story. One of my students would like to get something, you know, a project that she can kind of bring along. And, you know, she doesn't have to keep it forever. She just wants something that maybe she can rescue and then teach some stuff. And we can teach it to jump a little bit and find it a home, right? So we're not looking for a $1 million horse here. We're looking for somebody's backyard horse that they can't really take care of anymore. And we can teach it some stuff and relocate it. So we haven't really been in a big hurry to get this done. Just if something kind of falls in our lap. And I got a phone call on it was Wednesday morning. And it said, hey, you know, I heard that you might be looking for a horse. And I just want to tell you, it was somebody that a friend of a friend kind of thing called and said that there are some people that have a horse and they have to move on Saturday, like this coming Saturday, and they can't take the horse with them. So they need to find a home for it, like right now. And okay. I thought, well, what is it? And they said, well, it's a paint mare. She's really well broke. It's like the 12-year-old's horse. Okay. So they're moving and leaving this horse, taking this 12-year-old's horse away from her. And we might just have to abandon it at this property. This is the story I'm getting. Oh my gosh. It's this paint mare, super well broke, you know, of course I call the owners of the horse and I'm like, tell me about it. Is it sound? And they're like, we've never had a diagnosis on it. And I said, okay, well, how tall is it? And they said, well, it's about 5 feet. And I'm like, oh, boy. So these people have no idea what they have. And they have it in their backyard. Somebody gave it to them. It's their daughter's horse, and she rides it all the time. And I was like, okay, well, can you tell me anything about it? It's 5 feet tall, and it's a paint. I'm like, all right, well, you know what? And they're trying to give it away. So, and they're in a bind from what a friend of a friend, they're in a bind. So we drive the 45 minutes, Glenn, all the way out to these people's property. I'm with my student, Shannon, and we're in the car and we're talking about it's 9 years old, apparently. And it sounds like the perfect thing. She can get it, trail ride it, teach it some stuff, and then find it a home. You know, these people are in a bind and they need to do something really quick. So I pull onto the property, and a 9-year-old girl comes out with a cast on her arm.
Oh, okay.
And that's never a good sign,
no.
But they swear to me it wasn't the horse. It wasn't the horse. It wasn't the horse. But I'm like, you know, when you see that, that's usually a red flag. So I'm like, well, tell me about the horse. And it's just a fat, super fat paint horse. So I'm like, I guess you can't ride it for us, so we'll ride it. And my student goes to tack it up. And, well, what was supposed to be a 5-foot-tall paint mare is actually about a 13 three-hand spotted gated saddle horse. They had no idea what a gated horse even was. They said, well, we think. So she is really smooth to ride. And I'm like, well, no wonder, because she's a dang Tennessee walking horse with spots on her, black and white piebald. And by the way, crippled the back end. Again, the little girl loved riding her, and that's great, but lame as can be, spotted saddle horse. And I said, well, listen, you guys, I can put the feelers out. And they're like, oh, no. Well, if you didn't want her, we're going to keep her.
Oh,
well,
I thought it was had to go by Sunday.
It had to go by Saturday. Well, we've been looking at places to board, and we think we found a place to board her. And I'm like, so basically, if I liked this horse, I was going to be the a-hole who drove up to your property and took it away from your 12-year-old daughter? And they were like, well, she understands that, you know, you if you wanted it, it was going to be, I'm like, who am I? You don't even know me. You don't even know me. You don't even know what kind of horse you have. You're going to have me drive up and take, by the way, to be a jumper, which I had said, you're going to have me take this lame 14-hand Tennessee walking horse gated something or other to go be a children's jumper, and I'm going to steal it from your 12-year-old child. Basically, yes. Oh my God.
You do get the classics, let me tell you. You do get the classics. You live really bad ads. You're a living example of really bad ads. You are.
What's really sad is I'm not the only one, Glenn. I've heard from our listeners that have really bad stories, and those are just the educated horse people. Imagine all the people that don't, well, we end up going to see those because they're really bad ads too, is they get these horses that are either lame or they have no idea what they're doing or they're totally unprepared for the horse. Our daughter's going to grow with this horse, that kind of stuff. And then they get these horses that turn into really bad ads. So, you know, at least I know what I'm looking at, but so many people don't, and they just get swindled by people. Not that these people were doing that, but yeah, it's pretty sad that there's no regulation when it comes to
like a license
horses.
To own a horse, maybe.
Yes, exactly. You have to pass a test. It's just like our guest on Monday was talking about, take somebody with you who knows that this is not going to be your potential jumper. It is a aged Tennessee walking horse, gated something or other, that's not going to jump.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
Never.
Well, why don't we talk about some more of those ads right now?
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing, he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's time for Really Bad Ads. We do it every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And this is the time when our listeners submit to us bad Craigslist ads, usually that they find, or any other ads from the internet that involve horses or animals or anything to do with farming. And Jennifer is going to tell us about the terrific prizes that we are offering to three people today.
Displayed on this week's prize table for Really Bad Ads from left to right, Uncle Jimmy's gift pack. With Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls, licky things, and squeezy buns, you'll always have boredom busted and rewards fresh at hand. Uncle Jimmy's products are all made with quality ingredients with the flavors your horse most wants, like peppermint, apple, carrot, molasses, and even sugar-free. Ask for Uncle Jimmy's at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at uncle-jimmys.com. In the center of the table, from horsegroomingsolutions.com, a grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed suppliers, or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com. And rounding out the right-hand side of the table, a Dr. Rose's Remedies gift pack. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment and salve and spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, and anti-autocomplete. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective treatments for all types of scratches, cuts, abrasions on your horse. And especially this time of year, the dreaded too many baths, my horse has the dry crusties. Ask for Dr. Rose's at the local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com.
Thank you, Jennifer. Actually, Jennifer is now covered in Dr. Rose's remedies because she managed to get herself into a fire ant nest yesterday and has about 20 bites on one leg to show for it. So she is slathered.
I look like I have the measles.
She's slathered in that. Well, let's get started here with really bad ads for this week. And I found one, a little story. It's not actually an ad, but it's involving Craigslist. This was out of Canada, happened this week, and I love this story. Kayla Smith had her $1,000 bike, her bicycle, stolen. She reported to the police on Wednesday. Well, on Thursday, she looks at Craigslist, and what does she see on the local Craigslist? Her bike. So she calls the guy up, and apparently she plays super sweet and was like, "Hi, how are you? You know, I have the day off today. Why don't I come out and meet you at the McDonald's, and I'll see about the buying the bike." Well, this Kayla, who's a tough cookie, went out to McDonald's, and she said, "Well, you know, I'm not going to buy this bike without test riding it, right?" And the guy was hesitant, apparently, about having her test ride the bike. And the last thing he said as she rode off is, "Don't take off." Well, guess what she did? She said, "My heart was pounding, and I had no idea what to do, so I got on the bike and started to ride, and apparently kept riding and stole the bike back." So she now has her bike back. However, they weren't able to arrest the guy because they had no proof that he actually had the bike. They said it's a better idea if you see your property, your stolen property on Craigslist, to call the police and arrange with them to meet the person so that they can actually arrest him at the same time. But she got her bike back and she pulled one over on the crook. So she was happy. So that is the story.
That's awesome.
All right, Scott sent this one in. Two registered APHA mares, brood mares, once broke out. $200. Once broke out. "I am no longer going to have hobby horses at home during school. I have two registered mares for sale. Both mares are registered APHA and are great girls. Very mellow and lovers. Both have been brood mares for 5 years and the other for 3. Both have been broodmares for 5 years and the other for 3. Both horses were broke out and good trail horses, but we'll need to returns because they have not been rode out in a while. Asking $200 each." They're broke out. They were broke out of jail?
No.
The fence?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. They were broke out. Maybe it's something to do with APHAs. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's a bad ad. Lorraine sent in the next one. Short and sweet. Paint is the title. No location, no money. Paint. "Have a gilding paint blue Rhone melee for sale. About 16 hands. Not rodeo trained, but leisure rode. 11 years old, asking $1,200 OBO. Call or text Eric. Eric, what is a Rhone Male gilding?" I don't know, but I want to call him.
And apparently a horse is not good unless it's rodeo trained, is what he's saying.
No, yeah. It's not rodeo trained, but it has been leisure rode. All right, Carol sent in the next one. "What is the deal with gildings? Gildings, G-I-L. 7-year-old paint G-I-L-D-E-N pony. Gilden pony. He does ride, but needs time. Hard to catch in pasture because he's a pony. Has a lot of potential to be a great horse. Just needs somebody with the time. $200. Another $200 horse or pony. 7-year-old Gildens."
Gilden. Yeah, I think Gilden is the most common misspelling we have seen of the time we've been doing this. It's definitely a common misspelling.
It's true.
Yeah.
Is your pony hard to catch in the pasture, or Polly sees you and knows food's coming?
Yeah, that's it. He sees us, knows food's coming, so pretty much he will run your ass over. So,
okay.
Yeah, no problem there. He's right there in your face. Matter of fact,
you're not helping either.
No, I have this I know. I play this fun little game with him where I bring the bucket out and he gets so excited. So I dance with him. I just, you know, go back and forth and I go back around him and he's turning and spinning and, you know, trying to follow his food. Well, yesterday I went to do, I know this is a bad idea, but it was fun. So I go out with his bucket of food and I'm going to pour it in and I played a little game with him for a little bit. Well, he got pissed at me yesterday and he took his little nose and he bumped my head with it. He went smack. And it's like, okay, I guess I need to stop playing that game because he's getting mad. So didn't do that. I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah. It's not cute.
No.
It's not cute when they get bigger and stronger, Glenn.
No, I know. Translator sent this one in. Horse needs rider. This is the strangest ad, Jamie. Wait till you hear this. I have a gelding that I just love. He's 14.3 hand, technically a paint, but looks like a Palomino. He is hard to catch, but comes for good. He's real good. He is a very good to ride, but hasn't been ridden in about 5 months. He goes Western, and I want to ride to get a little more groundwork done with him, like catching, LOL. If you would like to not own a horse but want to ride, sorry, Western only, please call me. I live between Redwater and Smoky Lake. You must be in the area and have your own transportation. In winter, I haul over to the Willingdon Arena, and if you wanted to ride with me, I have other horses, I would bring him along. Their arena is heated and well-lit. Really, I would prefer an adult, but would consider a mature teen, especially if you are into Gymkhana or 4-H. He's amazing at pole bending. I have 3 horses and dogs and cats and a husband, so I don't get as much time with him as I would like. Call if you're interested.
Hold up. Did that sound a little bit like one of those I want to kind of date somebody? Like, I would prefer an adult. You can come meet me. I don't know. I got that feeling that they were a little excited to have a friend to ride with.
Yeah, or a very, very lonely woman. Very lonely woman. Apparently, the 3 horses, dogs, cats, and a husband aren't enough because she really needs a friend.
No, so exactly. She really wants a friend, and I would prefer an adult, but a mature teen is creepy. She could be 21. Who knows? Maybe she's looking for an 18-year-old guy to, like, come help her with barn chores. You know what I mean? Oh, okay.
Another one. If only we had the phone number. You know she's 65, don't you? You know that, right?
Well, what's wrong with a 65-year-old woman wanting some guy 18 years old to throw some hay around? Come on. Let's go for a ride.
Thank you, translator.
Chelsea sent this one in. Mini horse, it's a mini horse pony. $250. This is not the way. Why do people do this to sell a horse? They're trying to sell a horse, and the first line is, was wanting $300, asking $250. Like, already, I'm trying to get rid of it.
Nobody's paying $300. I'll take whatever.
Nobody's paying $300. I'm asking $250. I'd probably take less. Name, lady. Age, 5. Coggins, good. Lady is not broke.
Ooh.
She is kid friend lay, no bite or kick. I don't have time to do more work with her to do how many horses we have. She has not had anyone on her back since June and no kids on her back since March. She tossed both kids at a play day and run circles when I saddler her now. I, 110 pounds, can ride her with no probs, but she will not let any of the kids, and I don't know any bigger kids that are still small enough to cowboy her out. When we bought Lady last year, you could not catch her, and she was not very nice. I'm like, I almost want to read that sentence again. It's a mini horse pony that will kill a child. And why'd you buy her? Husband got bored and trained her to load in the back of the truck. She has rode back there with me helping her stand. Truck is a stock 88 Chevy.
Oh, my God.
A friend
God.
Had our trailer. Why does this matter? What kind of truck it is? Oh, my God. This is awesome. A friend had our trailer, can deliver if not far, and you pay for gas. Note, I drive a 1-ton. You must see mess with me first.
What did her have? I love how she just had to ask. Her husband drives a stock 88 Chevy, but she had to make it clear that she doesn't drive that piece of crap. She drives a 1-ton.
She's got a 1-ton.
She had to make that clear in the ad for some reason. I'm not sure. Can you just picture this scene with the mini, with her holding the mini up so he doesn't fall over in the back of the pickup truck driving down the highway in Georgia?
Well, this is actually, I think, in Massachusetts. Summerfield on the other side of Worcester. I don't know where that is. Worcester, I thought it was New England, Massachusetts, but that's Worcester.
Yeah. Huh, Oklahoma, by the way. Worcester's in Oklahoma. There you go.
Oh, hey, this is Oklahoma for you. This is where my husband's from. Congratulations, Oklahoma. Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks, Chelsea.
I love how she tossed both the kids at a play day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Bella Big Dog, who's the name of the next one who sent this one in. Potential barrel mare, $800 in Titusville. This is Lizzie B. She is soon to be 4-year-old quarter horse mare. She was bred for barrel racing and built to the hilt. I bought her as a yearling and have tried to get her registration papers ever since, with no luck. However, I was given her dam and sire's information at the time of purchase, so here is what I know. Her sire is Louis Goldseeker. He is registered. She has Leo King and Goldseeker bars on her sire's side, and he is about 14-2. Her mother is Dotsia Sassy. That is one long name. Oh, that's not the part. I didn't know that. Dotsia Sassy, one long name. She stands about 14.2 hands also. Right now, Lizzie stands about 14.1 hands.
Izzy.
What is it?
Liz? I think it's Izzy.
Oh, Izzy. Right now, Izzy stands about 14.1 hands, and she is going through another growth spurt. I have worked with her. She is an amazing girl who will do just about anything. I bought her with the intention of training her for barrels. However, I have never done barrels and do not have experience to train her. I have seen her speed.
Why'd you buy her?
I know. I have also seen her speed. This is the classic sentence of the day. I have also seen her speed and the ability she has to turn. And to be quite honest, she scares me. I am just getting too old to even attempt that. So for right now, I just keep training her up. I've been working with her in the round pen and trail riding her daily. She is coming along really good, but I would like her to go home where she can be used what she's bred for. If you're interested, give me a call. That's the best line of the day. I've also seen her speed and ability and that she has to turn. And to be quite honest, she scares me.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
That is a
awesome,
great
awesome.
Ad.
Beth Ann sent this one in. Beth Ann, Palomino Quater horse baby. Palomino Quater, period. Horse baby. There you go.
Oh, there you go.
I have a six mouth. I have a six mouth old. Palomino.
I want that one. I could make money with that baby, a six mouth Palomino Quater. That'd be great.
Man, you think one mouth is hard to feed? Try feeding six on one dang horse. All right. I have a six mouth old Palomino Quater. Horse he leads ties has been in a trailer a lot of times. You can pick his feet, touch him all over, and he has been led behind his mom several. Oftentimes, across highways, water on tree lays. Call or text. Can send pics. Are you sure you can send pictures? Because you can't even spell. Seriously?
You know, I've changed my mind really about buying the horse with six mouths, because can you imagine a dentist bill you'd have?
No, exactly. Okay, let me read this again, because it's just that awesome. I have a six-mouth old Palomino Quater. Horse he leads ties has been in a trailer a lot of times. You can pick up his feet, touch him all over, and has been led behind mom several. Oftentimes cross highways, water on tree lays. Can send pics. That's awesome. Awesome. Well done, Beth Ann. Tammy, you gave me the next one too. So Tammy sent this one in. Hustler's Honey versus Dreamer is an amazing horse.
What?
I'm just. That's a long name. How about that?
Yeah.
Hustler's Honey versus Dreamer.
Just doesn't even make any sense.
I'm going to guess that Hustler's Honey versus Dreamer is some sort of Western style, I don't know, Western pleasure type horse. Wait, it goes on to tell us. I'm not clicking with her. She is a beautiful halter horse, and she is professionally trained in ding, 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 Western pleasure and reining. She is started on the barrel pattern, and she has potential. She needs to go to a great home with someone to work with her. Loads, ties, bathes, stands for the ferry. You're great on trails and will go through water. She is a real sweetheart. And the theme of the day, here it goes. She is hard to catch sometimes, though. What is it with the horses today? You can't catch them. Nervous of backing out of trailer, too. You have to be very careful when you saddle her. If you tighten up the saddle real tight, she will most likely flip over.
She's only
done that, Glenn, a couple of times.
Oh.
Otherwise, she is great when you ride her.
Jennifer, didn't we have a horse that did this? When you saddled her up, the horse would just flip on its side. Didn't we have a horse like that?
Sally Allen did that.
Yes.
She only did it once.
Yeah, it was the scariest thing ever.
Took down the whole
ever.
Building.
Yeah, it was the scariest thing ever.
Really?
Yes. God, who would want a horse that does
horse
that?
The horse I have, Joey... I have really? One. Joey, if you put the girth on him and you have to put on really loose, then walk him and then tighten the hole, then walk him around, then tighten the hole and then walk him around. And it takes like 15 minutes because if you put the saddle on and tighten up the girth, he passes out. Like he doesn't flip. He just falls over like he's dead.
Oh, geez.
Face down and everything.
Oh, man.
It's really fun with lesson kids when they go, he's dead. I'm like, listen to Gertz, he'll hop right back up.
God, that's a trick pony there. You could hire that one out.
Yeah, he's an amazing horse. Yeah, it scares the crap out of the kids. But this horse is a real sweetheart. Although she won't back out of a trailer, she flips over and she's hard to catch. So otherwise,
she's a real hustler, Sonny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Rachel sent in the file. Oh, look at this. Our listeners never, ever, ever, Jamie, disappoint us with the trailers. They never. It's amazing how one week can be worse than the last. Rachel sent this one in. It's a circa 1950 horse trailer for two. 1950 now, okay? Horse trailer for two.
Wow.
$300. Oh, it's in Arizona. Casa Grande, Arizona. $300. And that's all the description because that's all you really need. Jennifer's going to post pictures. It's a convertible. It is entirely rust. There's no paint left, but the tires look amazing on this thing. I mean, it's a chariot. It's a chariot. That's what it is. It looks like a chariot, doesn't it? A chariot trailer.
Does it come with the milk crate full of assorted items that is on the front of it too? I mean, you couldn't move that for the picture, but this is... It's like in 1950, they didn't believe in putting actual roofs on trailers, and so it is open top. This is hideous. This
expensive.
Is good job.
Right out of Mad Max.
You know what,
it's
though?
Mad Max at the front. There's little gun ports.
Oh, that's true. There is little gun ports in the front. Hey, this would be fun, though, as when you were a teenage kid, riding in the back, up in front there in the chariot part, going 50 miles an hour down the highway. Tell me you wouldn't have done that in Georgia.
Tell me you wouldn't have swallowed a whole bunch of bugs if you did that.
That is a classic trailer. Jennifer's going to post it on Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Jennifer had a great idea. She thinks we should do a 2014 calendar of the trailers from Really Bad Ads. What do you think?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I think
great
it's
idea.
A great idea.
James sent in the next one. James, thank you. The world's most beautiful mini Jersey cow, $1,500. Again, this is the world's most beautiful mini Jersey cow. And the first line is, actually, she's technically half mini Jersey cow. So she's not the world's most beautiful mini Jersey cow. She's the world's most beautiful half mini Jersey cow. Mother was a small Jersey. Father was a mini Jersey. She is 2 years old and ready to breed. And as to her confirmation, all I can say is she is extremely beautiful. Absolutely the prettiest Jersey I have ever seen. We've been in pictures. I don't know how to take photos and put them on a computer. So if you're interested, you're going to have to come see her.
I just looked up mini cows because I'm kind of thinking, what's the purpose for a mini cow? That was my first thought. And then I just looked up miniature cows, and they are tiny. I mean, tiny. They're like the size of miniature horses. But did you know miniature cows can cost between $1,800 and $3,500 depending on the size, markings, and color?
I did not know that. Thank you, Glenn.
Wow. Miniature cow. What would you do with it? Make miniature milk?
I don't know. Do they show the cows or something? Like, do they pull carts? Do they produce milk? I mean, again, maybe you just put your coffee cup underneath them and
that's what it is. All right, Brianne sent this one in. This is the last one of the day. Saddles, $200 in Mount Holly, North Carolina. I have some saddles I like to sell. I have horse. I sold them due to my health. I have 4 adult women, 1 adult man, 3 kid. The best thing is just come and look at the sat on them. Can meet some if you are interested, but please make sure because that has a lot of weight.
What did you just read?
I have 4 adult women, 1 adult man, and 3 kid. Saddles? Don't know.
I don't even know what that was.
I really don't want to know.
That is a really bad ad because I have no idea. And I don't know what the lot of weight. Is she fat? I don't know. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
She might be fat.
I don't know. She just threw, you know how people throw random things into these ads? Well, there you go. And by the way, she drives a 1-ton. All right, it is time to pick our winners for today. Do you drive a 1-ton, Jamie? Do you drive a 1-ton?
I drive a 3/4-ton, so this person clearly is way cooler than me.
Way cooler than you. You're just useless. All right, let's pick the winners. You guys, it's up to you. We got Uncle Jimmy's. Who's going to win Uncle Jimmy's? This is a gift pack.
Well, I mean, should we do the 1-ton?
Yeah,
the 1-ton, the
something.
Mini horse ponies.
She's got to get
Chelsea
something.
Chelsea sent that one in. Yes, this is the husband drives a stock 88 Chevy with the mini horse pony in the back that will buck off the kids and is not broke and is really mean, pretty much. So there you go. That's the Oklahoma one. Let's give Chelsea that one.
All right, good. Chelsea wins that one. How about the Horse Grooming Solutions, a grooming tote filled with products worth over $100?
I mean, I love the one with the barrel mare that may have the 65-year-old woman looking for a young teenager to come up to her farm and throw some hay.
Yeah, we got a lot of mileage out of that one.
Yeah, we did.
Who sent that one in?
So that's Bella Big Dog sent that one in. Send your name, you guys, and then we won't call you by your email. Again, that was the potential barrel mare Izzy B.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that one. That was a good one. Dr. Rose's Remedies gift pack.
Let's see. Do we want to do the trailer?
The trailer is epic, isn't it? That's an epic trailer.
We haven't had a trailer that bad in a long time.
Yeah. All right. We'll do it the trailer. Who sent that one in?
The trailer was sent in, let's see, by Rachel Mitchell.
Very good. Thank you, and congratulations to all the winners. We appreciate you sending your ads in. It's been a lot of fun. And if you want to see a follow-up to Jamie's question earlier in the day about what color horses get bit up most by mosquitoes, we have a lot of responses on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. You can check that out. Don't forget that we will not be here Monday. No show on Monday. It's a holiday here in the United States. It's one of those holidays that I'm not sure why we have it, but it's a good excuse to take a day off at the beginning of fall and the end of summer. So that's basically why we have it. And we will be back here on Tuesday with Tack Talk with Equus Now. And then Jamie will be back on Wednesday as we do the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. Y'all have a terrific holiday weekend. Don't forget to download our app. Go find Horse Radio Network at the App Store on iOS or Android. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Any big plans, Jamie?
I'm actually going to, leave the child at home tomorrow and go have a riding lesson. And so the husband is going to be left alone with said child for the longest period of time without mama.
Ooh.
So this should be good.
Yes.
This could be good.
You'll come home. There'll be 25 empty beer cans. Both of them will be drunk on the couch. The house will be a disaster. There'll be wild women over. There'll be like naked girls everywhere, and it's going to be wild.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's going to be when I walk in the door, my husband is going to hand me said baby and go, I don't know how you do it. I can't take it.
Baby Luke, the wild one. By the way, you posted a picture of him this week. I think it was this week, of him laying there with his cute rosy cheeks, and he had sunglasses on. And that was the he is the roundest, what looks like the softest baby ever.
He's pretty soft.
He's cute.
He's special.
He is really cute.
Yes, he's awesome. I think I posted the picture of him with Zenyatta too, because that is still her baby. My gosh, it is that. It is her baby. And I also, if you can go to my page, Glenn, and put it on the Horses in the Morning page, I've decided that I want to be one of those people on the internet who's like super famous for going viral. You know, you post a video and like a billion hits on YouTube later, you're super famous. I've decided I want to do that. And so I'm trying to filter videos and find things to do to put on the internet that I can get famous because of and have like millions of hits.
And how's that going?
And I posted, I've got like 12 likes on my one video that I put on my Facebook page. So I don't know if you can do it. It won't let me put it on the Horses in the Morning page, but this is my video where I've decided to go viral. I found something on Jay Leno that is hilarious. So if you can go watch it on my page, Glenn, and post it to the Horses in the Morning page, I would appreciate it because I need all the views that I can get because I want to be famous.
All right. I'll give it. I'll check it out.
It's hilarious.
As if knowing some of the coolest horse race owners in the world and being in a book isn't famous enough.
I need more.
See, that's what happens. That's what happens with these celebrity women. They always want more. See you, everybody. Have a great weekend. Hey, Jamie, go buy a real truck, 3/4 ton.